Here we are, ready on this Friday night to have a live broadcast with you here as we open up the radio church for you on this 18th day of August 2023. And so glad to be here with you. Glad to have you all listening and being here part of this. Lord bless you. We missed you last week. But we're back here this week, so praise the Lord. We're going to just get it right into this tonight, have some news, and we'll also have a powerful message for you, and then we're going to do some deliverance here tonight afterward for a while. All right, so let's just start out with some news here tonight. Conservative activists prepare to defund a local library in Dayton, Washington over X-rated children's books. Well, somebody is getting in the fight there and saying no. Good for them standing up to the enemy and what they're trying to put on the children. So if one town can stand up, other towns should too, because it's many times you're going to win. And you're going to, that's right, you can win. New pandemic coming, already starting in England. The reports say by, I don't know if it's accurate, but they're saying by mid-October, people will be required to wear masks again when you fly. And TSA will be wearing masks again sometime in December, and then everybody's going to be required again. Well, people just all need to say no, not going to do that. I'm sorry, it doesn't do any good. It's been proven by, you know, science that the masks don't do any good against this type of situation. So anyway, I don't see that they're just doing it to control. They're doing it to, of course, look what they've been doing to Donald Trump. They've just been putting him away right and left, trying to stop him from being able to run, because they know that people do support him way more than they support their agenda. Wow. Of course, you know that Maui has nothing to do with climate change, right? Of course not, and they're trying to keep people from going to their homes. It's been some interesting reports that I've been seeing from there. Wow, that whole thing looks like, you know, from what somebody said, they said that the people are going to try to take over islands, the elite, so that they can go there and survive the pandemic and be safe while everybody else is dying off and stuff. Yeah, I don't know if that's true, but that's what I heard. Anyway, so power lines went down, not climate change, and started fires from brush that was pretty much purposely left there, whatever. Anyway, Porsche was criticized for editing out a famous statue of Jesus in the background in Lisbon, Portugal, of an ad. So Porsche apologized and replaced it with a new version. And Portia said that they are very sorry and can fully understand the hurt this has caused. Well, you know, that's Volkswagen, Porsche, Audi, all the same company, in case you didn't know that. But yeah, at least they said they're sorry, and they put the picture, statue of Jesus back in the picture, even though, you know, I'm not favorable toward statues of Jesus. The Bible says make no likeness or graven image. So I don't have pictures of Jesus hanging out around my house, hanging up around my house, or in the church. Or no, I don't promote that. Okay. Anyway, actor Dennis Quaid, or Quaid, I guess how you pronounce it, he revealed a white light experience that led to his salvation through Christ. He said, I read the Bible 2 times, read the Quran, and went to India 9 times, and now he's claiming to have come to Christ and has returned to his childhood Christianity. That's right, the 69-year-old shares how he saw kind of a white light experience, that he saw himself either dead or losing or in jail or losing everything he had. And he said, you know, which led him to what ultimately led him to getting saved and saved him from himself. And he returned to his childhood Christian roots. And so he turned away from movies with unbiblical content now and won't do those kind of movies anymore. Well, he'd done them for years, but he doesn't do them now. He supposedly had this experience with God. I hope it's real. Praise the Lord. I hope all the people in Hollywood get saved, but that would really be amazing if that were ever to happen, because many of them are so far gone that they're unlikely that any of those certain ones will get saved at all. Michigan community stopped Chinese companies' latest land grab in Michigan, fighting them every step of the way. He said, no way, you're not going to get this land. You're not going to buy land here. They've already been buying so much land in America anyway, but trying to get more, always trying to get more. So I think they have plans for the country, huh? Sounds that way. Blinken has decided to send F-16 to Ukraine. Well, isn't that another act of war with Russia from the United States? Well, they must be really trying to still provoke that World War III, huh? And they would be sent after the Ukrainian pilots were trained in Denmark and Norway. Then they would get the fighters over into Ukraine. Yeah. Well, 49 out of 52 leprosy cases occurred after the people took the COVID vaccine. So they got leprosy after they took the vaccine. Well, also a healthy British Olympic swimmer had just died suddenly at just 42 years old following his booster shot. People are still getting shots. Yeah, they're going to keep getting them. That's what the way they've been programmed. Anyway, a pastor, or the senior pastor actually, at Transformation Church, defends dropping the F word over and over, saying that the Holy Spirit never convicted him of cussing. Oh, what an excuse, huh? The Holy Spirit never convicted me of cussing? Well, what does the Word of God say about it? The Word of God is very clear. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Yeah, so don't give me that cop-out that the Holy Spirit hasn't convicted you. Read the Bible, Pastor. Read the Bible if you really are a pastor. I don't know that, you know, pastors don't talk that way. Well, just more last day deception. And we see that happen in many churches. Andy Stanley and his, you know, position as a pro-gay, really, in his stand and his church. And you think that his dad, Stanley, Charles Stanley, would like that? Christianity Today, you know, they put out a magazine called Christianity Today. If they're still doing that, I know they used to anyway. But anyway, they have an online presence too. And they say Barbie and Taylor Swift are bringing Christians together. Oh, man, really? I don't think so. I think the devil is deceiving you. I think that's another deception to be telling that to people. That's absolutely ridiculous because Barbie is a lot of perversion in it, and Taylor Swift is certainly not a Christian. So, yeah, okay. Well, entitled to their opinion, but I don't agree with it. All right. So, that's all the news. So, we're going to get on past that now and get into the important stuff, God's Word, because there's plenty of places you can get the news, right? But you need the Word of God. You need what Jesus has to say today to you. And so that's what we're going to talk about, what Jesus has to say. And so we're going to get into that now. Appreciate y'all being here. I was out of town last Friday night. It was just not possible to do the broadcast because we're in the middle of something. But you know, I rarely ever do miss any. So anyway, we're back and glad to be with you again. The Lord bless y'all. And thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of this church, live church tonight on the radio here. All right, so let's open up in some prayer here, okay? And ask the Lord to bless the time that we have here together tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, we worship you, honor you, glorify your name. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is in us, that we've been born again from above, Father, and we're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And I want to worship you for that tonight and thank you and give you the glory, praise, and honor. I want to ask you to bless every listener tonight, those who listen to this live broadcast, and those who will listen later, Father. I ask your blessing on them and their lives, their family members. Lord, I pray their family members will all get saved, Lord, if they're not saved, Lord, in Jesus' name, that they would ask Jesus into their heart, be born again for your glory. Thank you for that. Yes, Lord. We glorify your name, Lord, and give you praise and give you honor and worship you, Lord. I pray for brothers wondering what the will of God is for his life, Father, that might be doing something in direction of serving the Lord in a greater capacity in some type of ministry, whatever, Lord. I just ask you to lead him into your plan for him. Whatever he's got planned there, whatever he's looking at, Father, that he would be led by your Spirit. Pray for another sister who's been indecisive and difficult for them to make decisions, that she would be able to make the decisions that you have for her life, Lord, that she would walk in the best and perfect will of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray for President Trump, Lord, that you would deliver him from all these people that are trying to destroy him and put all these indictments against him and trying to put him in jail, put him away. Father, we pray that this will turn around and bite these evil people that are trying to do that to stop him from ever being elected again and saying that, oh, it'd be illegal to elect him and all the lies that they're trying to sell the American people. Lord, I just thank you for turning that around for your glory and getting that man out of all that and turn around to those who are sowing that wickedness, that they'll reap what they sow. And in Jesus' name, and Lord, we thank you for taking care of your people, Father, in these days ahead, these strange and perilous times that we're living in, and surely to get to continue in that direction. But Lord, you said that you're going to bless your church, and the righteous will shine brighter and brighter until the full day. And you love your church. You love your people, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we've even been engraved on the palms of your hands. And Lord, you're never going to leave us or forsake us. So, Lord, you're going to take good care of us no matter what happens out there. And so I praise you for that. I pray for the persecuted church right now, those who are suffering persecution. I pray, Lord, that you would minister to them, deliver them, and strengthen them in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah. We glorify your name now, Lord. Bless the broadcast tonight, Father. Bless the time that we have here together. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for releasing your power right now through the airways here. And, Lord, I just thank you for touching people's lives and, Lord, bringing about change and deliverance and, Lord, teaching all that you want to do tonight in Jesus' name. And we just Cover all that listen with the blood of Jesus. Thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper in the name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Hallelujah. All right. Let's get into this word tonight. Are you ready? I'm certainly ready. And so let's get into it. What we have to share with you. Personal warfare for you. That's the title. Personal warfare for you. Amen. So how many of you ever tried planting a garden? Anybody ever planted a garden? Did you ever plant one and did it grow well? Well, some people it might have a spore and some people it might not have, you know, but we are able to see the fruit of God in the garden of God that he has planted in us, so. And some people will and some people won't in that one, amen. But anyway, I tell you, tonight you were like a seed and God planted you. And if God planted you, he will see that you grow, okay? He's going to see that you grow. He wants you to grow. And right now you should be growing. If you've been listening to this broadcast, if it hasn't been going in one ear and out the other, you should be growing, okay? So it's either going to help take you deeper or it's going to, or you're going to just turn it off, right, and not be interested because it's too strong. But anyway, Isaiah 61:3, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirits of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So, we are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Do you see that there? And if we plant something in the earth, you and I, it's going to eventually die, right? Yeah, it will. And if we plant it, but if you're born again, God has planted you, and we will not die, but we're going to grow and grow and grow, okay? That's what God wants. God wants us to grow, and he said that we are the trees of righteousness. So, how is that? By something you did? Something I did? No, not by, you know, saying little prayers or keeping the Ten Commandments. I mean, he made us righteous because of himself and what he did. Okay, so I want to share to start out tonight. I know we got a lot to share, but just want to start out giving you four things, four places that you have been planted by Father God, okay? Because it's important that you know some things and the meaning of each one. Let's explore this area here, okay? Jeremiah 17, let's go start with the first one. Go over to Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8. 17, 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Hallelujah. Listen to that. Okay? The planting who? By the waters. Where? I mean, by the waters. What does that speak of? Speaks of planting by life, speaks of living in life. I mean, water also signifies the Word of God, the Bible. And Ephesians talks about the washing with the water of the Word, see? The Word is life. So, you know, you shall find it, you know, the words of life to those who find it, health to all their flesh. So when you are planted in the water of the Word, number one, you'll not be moved when the heat of the devil comes against you. Yeah, when the attacks of the enemy, all the attacks, all the heat, all the, you know, the harassment, the trouble, the persecution, you're not going to be moved. See, you're planted by life. You're planted drawing from the life of God by the rivers of living water. See, and you'll not be moved when disaster and famine and drought come. Also, when the signs of the end times surround you, you'll not be moved by these things because you. In the fact, the Bible says when you see these things, look up for your redemption draws nigh. It's an exciting time to be alive. It's not a sad time. It's an exciting time because you're living in the latter days. God put you here for a reason in this season on planet Earth. You could have come in 1500, or you could have come back in, you know, 5 BC, but he put you here now. Okay? All right. And you'll not cease to yield fruit no matter what. The Bible says you'll not be cease to yielding fruit. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, these are some awesome promises here. Look here. Now we go to the next one. Where else? What place else will we be planted? Romans 6:5. Let's look at another one here. Romans 6:5. It says here, if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Hallelujah. So what do we see here? We have, as born again Christians, been planted in the likeness of his death. Just as Christ died and went down into the lower places to defeat Satan and make a public show to the whole universe that he was a defeated enemy. That's right. He done him in. He defeated Satan. And so we too have authority over Satan. First, in reality, as our old spiritual nature died and we have a recreated new creation that we can live from, a newborn spirit. And secondly, the outward sign of baptism. I mean, no, baptism is important. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. See, so how that goes together there. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So I do believe in total immersion. I don't believe in sprinkling. Okay, I know the Catholics, they sprinkle, and other Lutherans. But, you know, I don't believe that's biblical. Because you got to go fully under the water. I mean, you need to die to live, in other words. So that's why I believe we must be completely immersed and not just sprinkled, okay? Complete. Complete inner signification of death and resurrection, okay? And Paul said about his flesh and mind, I die daily. Well, why is he dying daily? Wasn't dying once with Christ enough? Yeah, for our spirit. Our spirit only dies once. I mean, we don't get born again over and over and over again. We just, you know, we just die and raise from the dead. I mean, we were walking dead anyway before our spirit was regenerated and made alive and made a new creation. But our mind and body was not born again. Thus, the old nature of the flesh and the knowledge of good and evil live in it. Or we would never sin if that were not the case. If they were born again like our spirit, we wouldn't be sinning, and there would be no need for us to, you know, hang around. Just go on and be with the Lord, you know. But daily, we must put down the flesh and tell it, you're not having it your way with me. And because of being planted in death, we also are planted in his resurrection, which allows us to partake of his life if we choose to, and hopefully you're partaking of that life. Amen. And Psalms 1:3, tree planted by a river. I mean, this speaks of our name planted in the book of life, of being planted by the river of God. I mean, we're watered by God's rain. He rains on us by his spirit. The early and the latter rain, the Bible speaks of the early rain, the latter rain, and the refreshing of the spirit in Isaiah 28. In fact, we can go over there and read it real quick here. Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12 here. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line. Line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear it. But God has a refreshing for his people. Amen. And we need to be partaking of it. See, by God's river, we receive watering, and we grow. And the next one is planted in the house of the Lord. Psalm 92 tells us about that. Be planted in the house of the Lord. Psalm 92, verse 12. Okay, let's read it. The righteous shall also shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Hallelujah. They shall bring forth his ones, boy, but they shall bring forth fruit in old age, shall be fat and flourishing. So no matter what age you are, if you're worried about getting old, you're going to bring forth in old age fruit. Thank you, Jesus. That fruit's going to be continually through your whole life. It's not going to be ending. He's not going to forsake you just because you're getting older. Not going to do that. Thank you, Jesus. So what does flourish mean? Planted in the house of the Lord, are flourishing. Does it mean a little tiny shrub, brush in the middle of a dry desert, hardly getting by? Is that what it means? No. It means more like a tree planted in the rich and plenty of water jungle, right? And they just grow and grow and grow. And it says you will flourish in the courts of God's house. Well, how do you live in the courts of God's house? Well, how many know how you live in the courts of God's house? Well, Psalms 100 tells us that. 100 verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. That's how. Enter by praise and you abide in there by thanksgiving. You need to have a thankful heart. You need to be rejoicing in the Lord and giving thanks to the Lord every day. Amen. This is not something you do just at church or something you do once a month. No, you have a thankful heart, meaning you're thankful and giving God thanks all the time. Amen. Amen. What does it say in Psalm 76:1? In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. Where is God known? In Judah. What does Judah stand for? Praise. Hallelujah. So there you go. You'd be praising him. Then God will be known in you, and that's what we're talking about, getting to know God really more and more here. And that's a powerful thing to really know your standing, your position, and then to know him, right? Even when you don't want to, or feel like it, you need to give thanks and you need to praise God, folks. So there is no unrighteousness in God. Did you know that? Of course not. And where are we as believers? Spiritually, we're in him. We're in Christ Jesus right now. And so there's no unrighteousness in our spirit any longer. You know, the Bible says the spirit cannot sin in 1 John. But you still sin in your soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions. And the heart is the connection between, the soul and the spirit. And, of course, some people can have bitterness in their heart, but they can't in their spirit, see? Okay, as long as they're staying born again, they can't, okay? But anyway, so moving on here, because this is all so important to know as you continue to just, you know, be established in your foundational truths here of the Word of God. You need to know these things, that you've been planted in these places. Amen? So where are we as believers? We're in him, in Christ. And so we're righteous. Otherwise, God is a liar about this, right? So we're planted in the Lord's household. And the devil can't take us out of there, no matter, you know, how he tries. God planted us, and no one can uproot us. When God plants something, you can't, you know, I don't care how many devils try it, they can't uproot you. You have a will and a choice. You can, you know, uproot yourself, but you can make that choice. But you can choose to go, but he doesn't let go easily either. So what do we do now? That we know that we're planted a tree of righteousness. What do you do with that? Well, what does a tree do? It bears fruit. It grows. It bears fruit and it grows. So that's what you ought to be doing, saints. Bearing fruit and growing. Don't ever quit growing. Amen? know, some people quit. They get tired. They get lazy. They don't feel like fighting the good fight of faith any longer. And they just lay back and but what does God say in 2 Peter 3:18? It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. You need to be growing in grace. You need to be growing in the knowledge of God, revelation knowledge. You need keep growing. So how do we grow? Well, by partaking of his grace and in receiving knowledge of him, revelation knowledge. So what should our attitude be? Laid back, lazy, and we don't care? No, that's not it. 1 Peter 2:2, that really gives you a description of what your attitude ought to be. 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babe, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Are you desiring the word like that? Well, you should be. You should desire the sincere milk of the word. How does a baby drink milk? With a passion, right? They don't get it. You hear the wah-wahs. You know, I will have my milk. I will have my milk. I tell you, then we need to hunger and thirst after God today. It's the time for that. Believe me, it's time to hunger and thirst after him. If you can't see the agenda of the enemy, you're blind. I mean, it's been written all around us in this society that we're living in today. And his agenda is being certainly promoted in this world, and they just can't wait to bring it to pass. The cronies of Satan, those who are under his control, they just can't wait to bring this all to pass. But in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, the monkey wrench will be thrown into all their plans. It ain't going to happen the way they think. Psalm 42:1, though, this is the attitude we have. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? See, this is our desire. This is our hunger. And if we see, you know, a little, if we only seek God a little, then we'll get a little of God. But if we drink deep of the waters of life, we shall be satisfied, okay? We shall be satisfied. Time to get hungry. You need to know that the enemy is after your zeal, after your joy, after your peace, after your health, after your wealth. I mean, look at this Maui situation. You know, the enemy tried to take it all from them and make them slave to, you know, the devil's elite, supposedly, those who think they're going to be the new world order, the global elite. You know, he wants what you have, and if he can't have it, he doesn't want you to have it either, okay? And surely, you know, he can't have what we have. His days are over in that area. He cannot get born again. He cannot get saved. And he isn't ever going to get saved. So don't pray for the devil's salvation because it isn't going to happen, okay? But, you know, he can have that. So he tries to steal, kill, and destroy you and kill, and destroy what you have. But he can't do that unless you let him. And we need to get very militant today and determined against him. We need to get in his face and say, no, devil, no, and stand our ground. The Bible said, don't give him place, no place. Give him no place, no place to the devil, no place to his agenda, okay? We got to realize that the Antichrist has an agenda. He's trying to force it on the world. We don't give any place to the Antichrist agenda because, hey, Satan is the animator of the Antichrist. He animates controls, right? So why would we give any place to the devilish agenda? Why would we allow him to run that agenda on you? Why would you allow that to take place? You can't be lazy or wishy-washy with him. He's going to take all you have if you allow him to do it. He will do it. Okay, he'll steal everything you got. Yeah, if you don't stand up, fight the good fight, rebuke him, stand your ground, having done all, stand. Otherwise, he'll take everything you let him take. Right. You know, kind of just like these evil rich people trying to, and politicians, they want all we have and don't want us to have anything. They want to be the, you know, the kings, and we are the serfs, and the peons, and they're running everything, and they're able to control us, and we never challenge them, and we're just yes people, whatever they say, and we ooh and ah over them, we ooh and ah over the politics. Oh, how great you are. No, that's for God, only God. They don't get that, okay? It's a government for the people, by the people in America. That's the way it's supposed to be, but obviously we've come far from that. But, you know, we're facing great darkness, and we're going to have to make our voices heard today to the enemy, and only through our authority in Jesus will he be able to hear it. Okay, so we got to walk strong in the Lord and the power of his might. See, when we walk as we're supposed to walk in God, then the enemy hears us, and he's afraid of us. He won't show you his fear. If he can hide it, he's not going to let you see it. Nevertheless, he is afraid, okay, because I've seen demons so afraid in deliverance ministry. You know, they put on a good show, and they act proud and pompous, but you know what? I've seen behind all that. I've seen them begging. I've seen them afraid. I've seen them fearful. Excuse me. That's right. In deliverance, you see a lot of things. And when the demons are forced to come out, they get all very, very upset. They're fearful of losing their house. Yeah, they know that I have authority, and they fear they're going to lose their host, and they're going to lose their home, and they will be cast out. You know, we've had more than one person run out of the church when they were supposed to be getting deliverance, right? They came for deliverance. But the devils were afraid, and they were afraid they're going to be cast out. So they made their host run away. Not only, you know, people don't do that in the natural. See, there's only demons that cause all these things, the funny, strange things that we've seen. But, you know, it's only demons that see all these things, cause all these things to happen in people. You know, they don't just happen. People running out of the church when they, you know, came as a act of their own will to get delivered, and then when it comes time to get delivered, they're running out, running away. That doesn't just happen. But we've seen them run in a number of different ways to escape getting delivered. That's been a normal thing that we've seen in a number of people over the years. In one way or another, they're running. They don't want it. But what's in them is what doesn't want it. You know, maybe they cried up for it. Some or they wouldn't have, you know, set the appointment or anything in the first place. But when they come down to getting it, something in them made them run away one way or another. Well, they truly fear the devil do, the one who knows their authority and uses it against them. And you be one of those who does. Amen? I'm one of those who does. And you could be one also. It's up to you. You know, you could be way, I mean, really, you could be way stronger than you think. In fact, you really are stronger than you think. You may not be walking in all that strength right now, but, hey, you are way stronger than you think in the eyes of the enemy. He sees you as very much a potential threat. He sees you as a person who may walk as a threat, you know, because you could do that. And you could be a real threat to him, and you need to walk and talk that way as a threat to the enemy, because you are a threat to the enemy. Live that way. Okay? Fear not, for the Lord is with you. He is with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's strong, and he told you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen? He told you to do that. So what are you waiting for, saints? Come on. Let's do it. So, you know, now is the day of salvation, the word says, and now is the day of deliverance. Salvation also means deliverance. So, you know, now is the day you ought to be getting delivered. Now is the day of salvation. Start walking in that salvation. Start walking in that deliverance. Now is the day to win over the enemy and prevail, to go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord and live in his presence and his power, to be seated at the right hand of the Father and Jesus Christ. We're seated in heavenly places. Amen. Come on, to feast on his love, to eat his body and drink his blood. So when he said that, the Bible said a lot of his disciples quit walking with him. Hey, you know, it takes a lot to walk with Jesus. I mean, it takes a holy determination in your life to walk boldly in the holy anointing of God. Because, hey, you know, a lot of them walked away from him when he said, if you don't eat my body and drink my blood, you have no part with me. How? Oh, well, we're not cannibals. You know, we're not. You didn't get it. They didn't get it. It's a spiritual eating. It's a eating because he is a spirit. God is a spirit. So we're eating him spiritually. It is a eating and partaking of his body, eating and partaking of his blood. The life is in the blood. Wouldn't we want that blood, spiritual power, that blood flowing through us? When we take communion, I mean, it's powerful. It's not just a little ritual and rote thing that they do in so many churches today. They don't even really explain the true reality of what's going on when you receive the body of Jesus and the blood of Christ. It doesn't become physical blood and physical body. No, it's a spiritual God, spiritual blood and a spiritual body from a spiritual God. And we partake of that, and healing can be released, deliverance can be released, all kinds of miracles can be released in that. But isn't it time that we go all the way with Jesus and quit holding back in fear? Come on. Where does fear come from? Hello? You know where it comes from. Come on. The enemy uses it wherever people take the bait. And I'm telling you, a lot of Christians take the bait. I remember just this week I saw and talked with a woman who was so afraid. Yeah, she was so afraid. She clutched her purse, you know, clutched it like someone would steal it at any moment, and kept locking her car, even like someone would come and steal her car, even while she was standing by her car. She'd get in and get something out, and then she'd lock it again immediately, and get in, get something out, lock it again immediately, you know. And there was no animals in her car. There was nothing, I mean... What's wrong with that woman? She was in such fear. It was all over her face. I could read fear all over that poor woman's face. And she was standing right by her car and you know, just kept locking it and clutching to her purse and like someone was going to grab it. And she wasn't, you know, she wasn't going anywhere. And she wasn't going anywhere away from her car, yet she kept on doing that. And, you know, there's so many fearful Christians and fearful people in this world whom Satan truly has a grip on, okay? I mean, the devil has a grip on them, okay, through fear. I mean, look at the pandemic and then the next one that's coming. I mean, people are still wearing their mask all over the country. People are wearing their mask. They're fearful. They're saying, "Well, I can't take it off now." You know, and then they get trained like little robots and slaves to wear that mask. And even though it's been proven it isn't doing them any good, really, but yet they're trained now and they're in fear that if they don't wear that mask, they're going to catch something. They're going to get sick. They're going to die. Something's going to happen to them. My. You know, it's so sad. And there's some Christians like that, too. You know, Satan truly got a grip on people. You know, it's amazing. We don't need to be a member of his fear club, okay? But we need to be a member of God's faith family, that's for sure. Amen. You know, I tell you, I'm teaching you to bring you up to become a warring people with a vision for yourself, your family, your city, your country, your world. And without a vision, what? You know, the Bible talks about that. And there's some very important things which you must discover about yourself if you're going to become the overcoming person, the overcoming church of the last days that God's calling you out from the ranks of nominal Christianity to be. I mean, there's these nominal Christians out there that, you know, you wonder sometimes if they're even saved because they lived and looked just like the world. They act just like the world. They partake of the things of the world. And you wonder, are they really Christians? What they claim to be, you know, but they're nominal. And so we need to come out from the ranks of nominal Christianity. How will you discover them? How are you going to discover these very important things about yourself? Okay? Well, I'm going to tell you, by revelation knowledge, by the illumination of the Holy Spirit, see, the Holy Spirit will illuminate things to you and give you revelation of those things. And make them, quicken them, make them alive by the Spirit of God. If you listen, if you have ears to hear. A lot of Christians don't have ears to hear because they don't want to hear. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. But they don't really want to hear. because it might rock their little boat too. See, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah. He wants you to know. He's going to give you revelation. See, in the past, we said over and over, you know, we need to know who we are in Christ. And yes, that is true. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you need to know who you are in Christ. And that's very important, who you are in Christ. And surely you need to begin to know this before you really go on and continue to grow. But to truly grow up in Christ, he's also taking those who really hunger and thirst after him, taking them into the next step. He's taking them further. See, instead of just focusing only on who we are in Christ, which is wonderful, we need to begin to discover who Christ is in us. Amen? Who Christ is. Who is this one that's in us? See, as long as we're only, the only emphasis is to discover who we are, and we'll never become truly the fullness of who he has called us to be. Why is that, thanks? Why? Well, it's simple. Because we're not changed by seeing ourselves. It's by seeing him and his glory that we get changed, right? The Bible says that we're changed by seeing him and his glory, even as by the changed into his image, even as by the Spirit of God that's doing that work in us. See, it's not us who must be exalted, you know, but it's Jesus who must be exalted. Jesus, right? That's right. Jesus needs to be exalted, not us. Amen. Not about us. It's about Jesus. See, in these latter days, some people think it's about them, but I'm sorry. It's about Jesus. Always has been, always will be, even though he has made a lot of it about us. But the advancing, warring church today is going to have to rise above, you know, just worshiping the temple of God and worship the Lord of the temple, right? That's the way it's got to be. We got to worship the Lord of the church. He is the head of the church, the Bible says. He's the head, and we are the body, and we need to worship the head. We need to listen to the head, too. And when you begin to see who Christ is in you, then his glory is going to come forth, and a lot of the trash that holds you back, you know, that trash that holds you back will be dealt with. Because all of us have some trash, right, that still need to go, some demons that still need to go. And yet some of it's going to require, you know, getting rid of that stuff. It requires ministry and deliverance. Because you can't be a warring, overcoming church as long as you feel guilty, beat down, you know, whipped and full of a consciousness of sin, a sin consciousness controlling your life. A lot of people are so controlled by guilt and a sin consciousness. Yeah, they're pretty beat down. I've met a lot of beat down Christians in my lifetime, and I've tried to minister to them, and some can receive it and some don't. You know, some, you got to get out your diamond bit drill and, you know, and it's still just like it dulls the blade, I mean the bit, because they've got such a wall built that seeing themselves in such a negative manner that you can't hear them and get through there. With all manner of truth, they've got such this wall built by the devil that beat them down so bad, huh? Yeah, past failures of their life, the weaknesses of the flesh, enemy, you know, they'd have you dwell on all your faults for the rest of your life and all your inadequacies to keep you from, you know, seeing Christ in you and rising up at the overcoming church, the overcomer that God had called you to be. Hey, we all have sin. Listen, if you just dwell on that, no wonder you're in bondage, because Jesus said, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So the question is, why are you able? I mean, why are you listening to the devil telling you those lies? If God said your sins and iniquity I remember no more, why don't you believe the word of God? Why don't you embrace the word of God concerning this? Instead of believing those lies about yourself and the devil, you know, he sits there and tells you these things, and you embrace his lies, and you let him beat you down with those lies. Beat, beat, beat. And the devil beating a lot of Christians today, because, you know, that's the truth about a lot of them. You know, they let him do that to them. And they say, oh, yeah, yeah, I'm a mess. Oh, yeah, yeah, I've done all kinds of things. Oh, yeah, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with this mess that I am. Yeah, I don't see how God could love me. I don't see how I could ever, you know, walk as an upright man or woman of God. But see, this is just the lies of the devil. This is how he works against you. You need to recognize his tactics and say, no, 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 that's not what God says about me. And you need to speak what God says instead of speaking what the devil says. Amen. I mean, you say, I'm not speaking what the devil said. Oh, yeah, you are, because you heard it in your mind. See, that's where the devil's talking to you. He's not talking to you with a real loud, brash voice saying, I'm the devil. No, he's talking in your mind, planting those thoughts in there. And you believe that they're your own thoughts. Or a lot of people believe they're the thoughts that come from God. And God's telling you that you're unworthy. God's telling you such a sinner that he wants nothing to do with you. No? Oh, my, really? So, you know, you got to recognize his voice, the enemy's voice, and you got to walk on the enemy because he is under our feet. You know, we have the body of Christ. Be the overcoming church, the one that's going to bash his head in, right? There's no mercy for the devil, okay? Don't have any mercy on him. No, that's the thing. Humans are so prone to showing a little mercy here and there. You know, but you don't show mercy to the devil. He's not worthy of any of it. He's not going to have any mercy from the Father. He's not going to have any mercy at all. Romans 6:11, likewise, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You need to reckon that to be the case. You're dead to sin, man. You're dead to sin, sister. So you need to reckon that so, and reckon yourself alive unto God. Remember, you rose in the resurrection with him, right? You rose with him in the newness of life. And so newness of life, you're a new creation in your spirit. You're a new creature. And you need to let that new creature have a dominant place in your life instead of all this garbage that you let have a dominant place, you know, habits and ways of thinking shouldn't have a dominant place, okay? Shouldn't give it to them, all right? After all, if you're dead, you know, who lives now? Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Remember that scripture. See, we have died and death is gain because it's not us that live. It's Christ. It's not I that live, but Christ. Remember Galatians 2:20. Not I that live, but it's Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So as long as you live, you're going to focus on you, right? But if Christ is living, then where's your focus then? It's going to be on Christ, and Christ is your identity. And well, you say, well, how is that? How is that so? How can Christ be my identity? I'm me. Well, no. But he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Remember that scripture? So Christ, you are one. So you're one spirit with him. And that's powerful, but also 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that you may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Okay, so, hey, there's another reality of the word. I mean, let the Lord give you a revelation on these things. Say, let him quicken these things, make them alive to you. Okay, where is Jesus today? Is he up in heaven with a self-image problem? Oh, you know, I'm kind of insecure today. I don't think I can help anybody today. Well, you know, I don't really, you know, it's too bad what you're going through, but, you know, I got an image problem here. I got to take care of this image, self-image. I'm not feeling very good about myself today. You think that he's up there battling inferiority, a self-image problem, or afraid that Satan's going to get the upper hand on him? Oh, my, look out for the devil. He's going to get the upper hand today. Look what he's up to today. Just don't know what I'm going to do, and he's up there freaking out. No, I don't think so. No, no. No, you think he's worrying? You know, does he worry if people will like him or not? I don't think so. He showed us what his personality was like there when he walked on the earth. He said, they're a bunch of whitewashed sepulchers. Yeah, and twice child of hell, and all these things he said about these people, and he wasn't concerned about offending them. He wasn't concerned. about that. He's not worried if people didn't like him, you know. No, no. Don't you think he has a sin consciousness, all worried about his sin? No, I don't think so. I don't think, you know, I think the chosen, you know, I don't know about that show, because they're showing that Jesus, you know, had faults when he was a child, that he committed a transgression, as a scene from one of them was, oh, well, Jesus, what are you going to do for your mom? You need to do something for your mom to make up for your transgression. Well, I don't think Jesus ever sinned, okay? So I don't think he had any transgression. So, you know, what kind of perversion of the people in the Chosen trying to put forth in that scene? I mean, that's a perversion of the gospel. I'm not going to believe that garbage, you know? Because Jesus never sinned, okay? Because he was the perfect lamb, the spotless lamb without spot or blemish, see? And if he had committed a transgression and he had to go do something for his mother to make up for his transgression, that was when he was a little boy, the scene that there was in the Chosen there. Oh, really? I'm sorry. That's not accurate. Okay? And they're really almost really committing heresy by saying that, really, as far as I'm concerned. Because Jesus didn't sin. Never, or he couldn't have been a perfect sacrifice for you and me. I mean, how could he have gone to the cross and died for us if he had sinned when he was a little child, a little boy, you know? I'm sorry. Okay, but anyway, so Christ doesn't have a self-image problem. He's not in vanity. He doesn't have a sin consciousness because he never sinned anyway. So, hey, if God said you're dead to sin, then you're dead to sin. And you need to start wrecking yourself dead to sin. And if you're living under, not that you will never sin, but you're dead to sin, okay? Spiritually, you're dead to sin. And if you're living under the law, then you're going to be miserable, you know, definitely, because God said, you know, through Paul, he said, who has bewitched you? You know, when they went back under the law, he said, you're under bewitchment. You've been witchcraft done on you because you went back under the law after, you know, tasting of the living by grace through faith, and now you've gone back under the law. Come on now. Wake up out of that. That's another teaching altogether. But, you know, really, people need to wake up that going back under the old covenant is not cool. It's not hip to go under the Hebrew roots or to be, you know, trying to be one that goes and keeps the law by every jot and tittle, which you can't do because there would have been a need for a better covenant. And the Bible says it's done away with the old covenant as a means of righteousness. In Hebrews, I mean, hello, so why would you go under something that's been done away with as a means of righteousness? It won't work. Nobody can keep the law. Nobody, nobody, nobody. Only Jesus did that, and nobody else. He had to do it so that he could redeem us. Amen? So the seven churches in Revelation are a prophetic parallel of the entire church age. We're living in that too, of course. So beginning with Ephesus and ending with Laodicea. And yeah, we think of this church age, you know, as the lukewarm Laodicean church. And yeah, that's true that in many are today lukewarm. But notice there's, you know, the greatest promises of all is given to any of the seven churches, were given to the Laodicean church if she repented, right? If she repented. And I really believe that, well, there are churches of each type. I mean, the churches people are made up of people of each of these seven types of churches right now on the face of the earth right now. But anyway, Revelation 3:20 said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Amen. So that's what he's going to do. So the Lord wants to come in and dine with you. He's knocking at the door of your heart, your spirit today, to come in and dine your soul. He wants to dine in your spirit and in your soul. He lives in your spirit if you're born again. But it's high time, the church, we come out of our, you know, stupor, and let the master in and let him rule, okay? He's knocking, okay? Some people say that's just a salvation scripture. I don't agree, because he's knocking, he's talking to the seven churches. Hello, he's not talking to the lost people here. He's standing and knocking. He wants to come in and rule your life. He wants to have his way. He's knocking. Will we be so caught up in ourselves, our problems, our religion, that we leave Jesus at the door? Or are we going to open that door and let him in? Well, a lot of people, you know, they're Christians. They say, okay, Jesus, you come in. A lot of Christians, you come in, but not into this area, Lord. Not this area, not this area. No, you come over here. Oh, no, Jesus, you can't go in that area. You can't go in there. That's mine. Oh, really? Then why did you say, I give you my whole life, Lord, when you came to him? I don't think so. You give him your life, you're all his, right? Your future, your stuff, your lust that you want to hold on to. Your alcohol, your habit, your smoking, you want to get high, you know, things to self-medicate yourself with, you're smoking, your weed, stay out of there, Jesus, your lust for whatever, you know, and stay out of there, Jesus, no, this is mine, I want to keep all that, all that money is mine, I want that, stay away from that, oh, that's my child, you can't touch them, that's my child. My family, I want to be in control there, Lord. So don't go in that area. That's off limits to you, Jesus. Oh, really? You telling Jesus it's off limits? Okay, well, yeah, Jesus won't force his way in there, but how many miss out on how much today? Because they're still holding on and keeping Jesus away. Keeping them out of certain areas of their lives and their minds. Oh, I don't want Jesus in there. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Jesus, you come here, but you can't go there. What kind of demons you protecting anyway? You want them to stay in the place there? You must be in agreement with those demons. How many know that you're really going to get deliverance? A prerequisite to deliverance is you got to get out of agreement with those demons. You can't keep yourself in agreement with those demons. If you really want to get delivered from those demons, you're going to have to come out of agreement. Because as long as you're in agreement, they have a legal ground to stay there. Did you know that? Some people are coming for deliverance, but they're not out of agreement with their demons. How can they get delivered? You're coming in for deliverance and you want to get free from something because, man, you feel more comfortable and you want it on your terms rather than God's terms. How are you going to get delivered that way? You know, how are they going to take place? How many people have come for help over the years who were living together outside of marriage and wanted deliverance for their partner or for themselves? Well, I could tell you there have been a number of those people like that, you know. And so, listen, you're living in open sin. You're rebelling against the scripture and you want to come for deliverance. You think how much deliverance you're going to get. I'm sorry, not too much. You can comply with the word of God. You can move out and wait till you get married. You can begin to obey God and quit, you know, blatantly, openly, you know, just shaking your fist in God and say, I get away with that. I can do that. I love this person. I'm going to live with them. Well, fornication, you be called a fornicator if you claim to be a Christian and continue in fornication or adultery. Some, you know, married doing that. Hell, separated from their husband or wife doing that. Come on, folks. No wonder you're having the problems you're having. You're coming in for deliverance. You get a quick fix. It ain't going to happen. All right? Things don't work that way in the kingdom, you know? I know out of the mercies of God, and the Lord forgive you. If you're repentant, he'll forgive you, and he will deliver you. But if you're coming in there and you want your cake and eat it too, I mean, and you're trying to hold on to your sin rather than renounce it and repent from it, then how much deliverance do you think you're really going to get? Okay? There's no real cleanup there. There's no real getting out of agreement with your sin and breaking out of the devil's grip in Jesus' name, see? No. You know, maybe you're having trouble breaking out of sin. Well, you know, the Lord will help you do that, and we can do some deliverance to help you break out of it. But see, you know, if you're going to hold on to your sin, how much deliverance will you really get, see, if you're choosing to hold on and you're just wanting, you know, some relief from the problems of living in that sin rather than getting rid of that sin? See, there's a difference between just, you know, wanting a little relief from the misery of your sin and getting delivered from your sin altogether and not being in agreement with it and hating that sin. The Bible tells us to hate evil. So you can't really stay in agreement with that stuff. You got to come out of you know, come out of Egypt, right? Coming out of Egypt, coming out of sin's control. Yeah, you got to get out of agreement. That's it. And so call upon the Lord, give it to him, and you'll come out of it. And yes, it will require some deliverance because you give in place to the devil or you wouldn't be in the condition you're in. But you need to give up what you're holding on to. You need to let Jesus come in there where he hasn't been allowed, see, where you haven't been allowing him, and come fully out of the devil's territory. Because if Jesus doesn't have that area of your life, guess who does? Huh? I mean, that's pretty simple, isn't it? If Jesus doesn't have an area of your life, well, who do you think does have that area of your life? Hmm? If the enemy, I mean, if Jesus is not in control, then who is? Oh, I'm in control. No, you're not. By default, the devil is. Right? There's only two powers here. Power of the devil and power of God. There's only two forces here on the earth. Forces of evil, the forces of heaven. And so, got to realize, and there's you, of course, but, you know, you're in alignment with one or the other. In your thought life, you, when those thoughts come into your mind, you align yourself with, you know, one or the other of those thoughts, and you start thinking on, and when the devil plants a thought in there, if you start thinking on it, dwelling on it, you've aligned yourself to some degree with that thought that was planted. You've aligned yourself with a demon. How many know we don't need to align ourselves with demons? We don't need to sit at the table of the Lord and the table of devils. Okay? We need to get out of alignment there. Huh? And only align ourselves with the thoughts of the Lord, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm just quoting from memory. I missed one of those. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Philippians 4:8, right? Yeah, that's a powerful scripture. Amen. So the enemy, you know, we gotta get him routed out of there and quit giving him place. Bible says give him no place. That means in your mind too, give no place to the devil. No place where he can set up household. No place where he can say, I got you in this area, you know. No. Give no place to the devil. You know? If the devil has it, if Jesus doesn't, because you won't let Jesus have it, and you think it's yours, but I'm telling you here with information that if it's unyielded to Jesus, then there are demons inhabiting that part of you. Okay, most likely. All right. Okay. To dine with him. What is that? That's to know him. You shall sup with him. You shall dine with him. It is not just hearing the words of the Lord that matter, but it's hearing the Lord that matters, see? So people hear the Bible read, you know, that's good. And there's power in the word if it's quickened by the Holy Spirit and by revelation. But you need to hear the word himself. What is Jesus saying today? What is Jesus saying? You know, this comes by living in the Spirit. Isn't this our desire today, church? I mean, really, I mean, to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lust of the flesh, not to know about him, but to know him, you know. And Mary, she just sat at his feet and knew him. But, you know, many in theological cemetery today, they know the word of the Lord, but they don't know the Lord at all. You know, I mean, something's wrong there, right? Let's look at Israel, the sons of Jacob. They were the 12 tribes of Israel, right? The 12 tribes of Israel. And we are spiritual Israel today. So we see in these 12 sons a remarkable picture of church history, starting with Reuben. He was the firstborn of Israel, the firstborn of Jacob, which was renamed Israel, right? So here we see Reuben, the firstborn. What's the firstborn stand for? The early church, right down to Benjamin, the last son born, and he was a type of the last day church Christian. Benjamin was one of three men in the Bible born in Bethlehem. Did you know that? David, Jesus, and Benjamin, the three men mentioned in the Bible, important men in the Bible that are very important. Bethlehem means a house of bread or a place of food. This shows the fact that the last day church would be born in the place of abundant spiritual food. And isn't that true today? I mean, man, there is so much food out there, so much knowledge, so much revelation. See, so much there. Oh, man, folks, so much there in this last day church. And it's a place of abundance of spiritual food. That's what Benjamin speaks of, you know. And Benjamin was the last child, and we are spiritual Israel. So therefore, you know, he's a type of us in these latter days, okay? All right. I didn't say we're Jews. I said we're spiritual Israel, okay? Genesis 43, even though the Bible does say we're Jews too, but Genesis 43, let's go over there. 43:34. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's read it. And he took and sent messes unto them. I'm sorry, I said Moses. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times so much as any of theirs, and they drank and were merry with him. Five times as much. Listen, God is going to give us so much revelation in these latter days, folks. So much revelation. Hallelujah. You've got to get that. And he's doing it. I mean, man, there's revelation knowledge. The word is meat to us, and he's opening it up to the word to us like never before. Okay? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't it good? Isn't it good? Man, I'm telling you, it's good. God is good, right? It's God. It's God. It's God, and it's good. Okay? So God is pouring out. Why is he pouring out so much revelation and abundance on his last day's church? Well, I'm going to tell you, because we're going to need it. We need it right now. Okay? You can see the need. Just look around already. I mean, you're seeing deception being poured out upon, you know, a lot of Christians are receiving it too. Okay? Okay? So this is another prophetic incident foretelling the abundant spiritual food for us in these last days here, as we see this in the 12 sons of Israel. So we need it, and we're going to need it, and we need it like never before. But Satan is pouring out deception like never before today, and we're seeing that come right now, okay? And so we need to wake up to that deception and recognize that we could be deceived too if we're not staying in the one who could protect us, see? And Jesus is our protection, and Jesus will keep us until his return and do a good work in us until the day of Jesus Christ, as it says I think it's Philippians or Colossians. He's going to do that work until the day of Christ and in us. Hallelujah. Okay, let's read on the next verse here, 21 of Revelation 3. It says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. Woo-wee, man. This is the future and a present truth, okay? And never before has the church had the revelations so clearly revealed that we are seated in the heavenly places right now, that we can come boldly before the throne of grace in time of need and receive from there, and we can abide there. I mean, whoo, glory to God. See, the Lord has saved his best wine for last. And those who are really zealous, are you zealous for God today? You know, they're beginning to enjoy it. I'm enjoying his best wine, you know. We ought to all be enjoying his best wine, what he saved for last, what he saved for us right now that are living in the latter days, right? Amen. This is good stuff, man. Good stuff that we're enjoying as God is pouring out on us for those who will receive it. Okay, let's look at Benjamin a little bit more here. When Benjamin was born, his mother died. Okay, and that, boy, that speaks of some things too, right? She named him, before he died, Ben-Oni, right? Ben-Oni. And so what did Ben-Oni mean? It means son of my sorrows. Well, Jacob, his father, Israel, changed his name to Benjamin. And what does Benjamin mean? Son of my right hand. Oh, you get that. So he was changed from son of sorrow to a son of his father's right hand. What do you think happened to us when we got born again? Huh? Hallelujah. That's happening to us, the last day church. When we get born again, we're sons of the Father's right hand. Hallelujah. And seated at the right hand. We're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the right hand of Christ, at the right hand of the Father. And so we know the right hand is a position of authority, too. That's what the right hand means. So we're in a position of authority today. And that's why the enemy is so afraid. If you learn these things and walk that way, you're going to do him in. Amen. You're going to do him in. And the last son was named Benjamin as a testimony of the authority and the position the last day church would walk in and would have. Benjamin was the only one of the 12 sons named by his father, not his mother. Now, there's some truth there, too, that we need to see also, right? Hallelujah, because I know that the mother speaks of the church, okay? Our ministries are not going to come because of some, you know, some kind of a cemetery who we attended or some kind of seminary we attended, right? But by the holy calling of God and the preparation is not going to come just by learning more about God, but by having Christ Jesus brought forth and manifested in us and through us today. And when we start living from him as he lives in us and through us, listen, we're going to walk, you know, as many have not walked before. I mean, we're going to walk in great authority. I mean, like, again, we've been as Mary sitting at his feet, and that's where we belong, see? And let us begin. I'm going to begin closing here because we're running out of time, but I want to start closing with this, because the miracle Jesus performed were not just to show who he was, but they were to be a message, you know. The first miracle, look at that. He had the vessels set aside, and each one of them was filled to the brim with water. Water is a type of the word which with which he would fill them up, you know. And then what did he do? He turned the water into wine, symbolizing he would turn in his word into spirit and life to those that find it, right? Hey, revelation knowledge in those that partake of his word, see? Look at John 6:63, man. That's powerful stuff. There's so much here. John 6:63. It says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. See, they are spirit and they are life. See, that's what's happening. Hallelujah. He poured out and turned the water into wine. And they are spirit and they are life. They're quickened. They're made alive. See, John 4:23 and 24. John 4:23 and 24. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Wow, hallelujah. So many of you are vessels set aside by the Lord for last day's ministry. That's right. Our water is going to be turned to wine. And we will never again settle for just the principles and formulas, you know, but we'll only be satisfied in knowing who he is inside of us, who the Almighty One is inside of us today. And when this happens, look out, devil, right? Look out, devil. I tell you, he needs to be concerned about us, those of us who walk this way. And he is in fear as he tried to bring his agenda to pass. Oh yeah, 4:19 of Revelation. I mean 4:3:19. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. There is a place for repentance. There is a place for crying out to God and saying, Lord, I missed it. You know, I need to get things right. And you confess it, and the blood of Jesus cleanses you. Okay? But anyway, he said, be zealous and repent. And the church, you know, the problem today in the church is that we have lost our zeal for God, a lot of people. Instead, we have programs, we have bingo, we have burdens to bear, we have heavy yokes. Where's the chapter and verses for that? They must be using a different Bible than I have, or using some kind of strange edition, right? Because God says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not that we won't suffer persecution. We will. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus suffer persecution. Okay? But he says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. His yoke is not heavy. And so we need to see Jesus in his glory and repent for our worldliness and being in alignment with the world instead of with the word. And to let God arise in our hearts. Remember, let God arise. What's going to happen is the enemy will be scattered. See, if we'll let God arise in us, the enemy's going to be scattered. And we go forth and walk in that authority that God has given us and is doing through us, see. Oh, yeah. That's right. God has prepared you for these times. You're going through stuff so you can reign in life through one Christ Jesus. See, we're to reign in life, not to be reigned on over by Satan. You know, that's what a lot of Christians say. Well, it's such a hard road here. I'll just be glad if I can get a little shack in the corner of glory up there where Jesus comes. If I can even make it, Lord, I hope we're going to make it up there with the big boy, you know, up in the sky. You talk like that, I got to say, are you saved? You know, you've been reading the wrong Bible. You've been sitting under religious teaching or something, you know. Lord, help them. Let God arise in all his glory to be seen by us, and the enemies of God will be scattered, and they will recognize that God is in us. I mean, listen, when Smith Wigglesworth walked around on the earth, they recognized God in him. Like the one falling out on the train and saying, oh, sir, you convict me of sin. Just him walking by, they got convicted of sin because the glory of God was on him. See? Oh, yeah. You know, we can go boldly as the fire and the hammer of God. And my desire is that Christ will be formed in each of us more and more and more as we, you know, await that full day. But let's get before God today. We don't need to beg and plead him because all is already ours. He said all is yours. But let us, you know, repent, confess our lukewarmness, and ask God to again make us zealous for him, to restore or make a new, you know, to make us anew, a relationship with our first love again. Jesus, to allow Jesus to be seen, you know, by us in our spirits. See, that we're going to recognize him in our spirits, and he's going to come alive on the inside of us. He is alive on the inside of us now, but a lot of people just not looking there. They're not looking at Jesus. They're not looking at him today, you know. Where is your zeal today? Have you lost it? You know what, saints? It's time to let fresh fire from heaven burn in you again, to come alive spiritually, to have a sense of your destiny in Jesus right now, to become aware of your future in God right now. It's not over yet until that last breath. You're still sucking air. You're here. You're here for a purpose. You're here for God to use you. It's all about Jesus. It's not about the devil. You know, everybody's talking about the devil and what he's doing in the earth, and he's doing a lot of dirty, dirty work trying to exalt himself. Looking like some bad boy. You know, his end time agenda is already, you know, going on and trying to bring it to pass. But, you know, the devil's end is already determined and settled. He's a defeated enemy right now. He shall not prevail. We shall prevail. And if we are, you know, found to be in Christ, we're going to prevail. And that's where I am. How about you? Is that where you are today? Or are you in your trouble, fears, and difficulties and letting them have a dominant place in your life? Sure, when you're going through stuff, sometimes it seems so, you know, I don't like to use it, but it seems like it could be overwhelming to you. I don't like that word because I'm not overwhelmed by the devil. I'm overcome by God. I mean, I'm ruled over by the Lord, you know. But some people, they're just overwhelmed right now. And they're just troubled, and they're letting those things have a dominant force in their life, a dominant place in their life. And Jesus said, don't abide in those things, abide in me. Jesus said, abide in me. Quit abiding in fear. Quit abiding in anxiety and all the troubles of the earth. He didn't tell you to abide in all the troubles of the earth. He said, abide in me. He said to trust in me with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Listen, we got a lot of our own understanding that tries to take over very easily. Right? Take over very easily. Don't let it take over. Don't abide in him. It's what he told you to do. Listen, we've all faced stuff, okay, in life, but don't let the stuff have you. Don't let the stuff control you. Don't let it dominate you. See? Let Jesus have you. See? Abide in him. Make him your dwelling place today, starting right now. If you haven't been doing that, start right now. You know, don't abide in that anxiety and worry any longer. Just give it to Jesus. Why do you think Jesus said, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you? Because you can abide in him if you do that. You're not abiding in all those cares. You're not abiding in all those worries. You're not abiding in all that fear. You're abiding in him. See? Oh, yeah. Make him that dwelling place, your dwelling place, and walk like he is walking, because as he is, so are you. Remember, it says in 1 John, as he is, so are you in this world. Amen? Be the man or woman of God that you're supposed to be. You know, you got to put away that fringe stuff, that stuff out there on the fringe, that stuff that's worldly, that stuff that's got some New Age mixed in with it, that stuff that's got some occultism mixed in with it. You got to put that stuff away. That is not spirituality. That is not true spirituality. It's the devil's counterfeit trying to look like Jesus and make you think it's Jesus so he could deceive you. Many will be deceived in the last days, and that's one of the ways he's going to deceive a lot of Christians. With stuff that looks like God, but it isn't God, okay? It comes from the source of darkness. It's no wonder that Satan's ministers would manifest themselves as angels of light, because Satan is, you know, is acting like an angel of light at times to deceive, see? To deceive. And so closer to Jesus, that should be our desire today. Closer to Jesus, closer to Jesus, closer to Jesus. Yeah, amen. Yeah, pray in the Holy Spirit. I do that every morning. I pray in the Spirit. That's so important. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, pray in the Spirit. If you're not, get baptized in the Holy Spirit so you can pray in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, so you have your prayer language. You can pray in tongues anytime. You know, there's a difference between the, you know, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and then the gift of the Spirit with of speaking in tongues. That's something you do in church with and have an interpretation, or you're speaking in something, some language that somebody there understands and they're getting ministered to. Like the one that told me I was speaking in Hebrew when I was praying in tongues one time and speaking perfect Hebrew. I don't know Hebrew, but they did. They were, you know, they were Jewish, and they said that to me. After church, they told me all about it. But then, anyway, there's the private tongues that you could pray at any time. That's what you get when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not the same as the gift of tongues that you would be using in church or among others and having an interpretation to go with it. See, this is your personal private prayer language that you receive, and you could pray in tongues any time you want. Okay, driving down the car. You're just praying in the Spirit, driving your car. Well, you're at work. Working away while you're praying in tongues. Hallelujah. You can even pray in tongues in your own mind quietly, but I prefer to speak it out loud myself. You know, I don't like to pray in tongues in my mind. You know, it's so much better to pray it out loud, just like it is to speak the word out loud. See? But anyway, I got off on that because what you said there in the chat there, I tell you, that's just a main part of my life is praying in the spirit. Because sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, you don't know what to pray. Circumstances and situations you face, and you don't know what to pray. But the spirit always knows what to pray. And if you pray in the spirit, you will be praying what God's will is. There's so many different prayers in the spirit, prayers of warfare in the spirit, in tongue, prayer for blessing in the spirit, prayer praise in the spirit, prayer for direction in the spirit, releasing the power of God, you know, through praying in tongues. And there's just so many different things. I mean, you pray in tongues, it's not just one little limited thing, you know, limited is not a word, but a limitation. It's God unlimited. It's not God limited. God unlimited. Hallelujah. And he's our God, and he's going to see us through to the end. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking into our lives tonight and with revelation and understanding and spiritual life, Father. We appreciate it. Oh, yeah. Oh, there's so many. Yeah. I just got started on the things you can pray in the spirit. So, yeah, come on. Share some there that you think of. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire and tongues and power and all of that, Lord. We thank you for it. And I appreciate every day that I do speak in tongues. I'm like Paul. I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all. And, you know, I don't know if I speak in tongues more than everybody that listens to the broadcast, but I do speak in tongues a lot, and I think it's important. Praise God, because he said we can and we should. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bless our time of deliverance here in a few minutes and minister by the power of your spirit, Lord. And, Lord, I thank you for the word tonight, Lord. I pray that it did some good in people's lives, Father, and they received what you said to them through it. In Jesus' name, the working of the Holy Spirit, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's go to take a few minutes here, then we'll come back, and then we'll cast out some devils for a while. Right, for a little while before it's time to go for the evening.
Your world is all over, no one cares for you. Lift up your eyes and look at the sky, there's a patch of blue. You know that he cares. Jesus, he will see you through. From your eyes like the rain from above, God send us peace that will fill your heart with his love, because you called on Jesus. That you know that the Lord walks beside you, you can walk along. Knowing that Jesus is with you, you now have a song to sing. To sing to Jesus. Jesus. He will see you through the storm. Oh yeah. Ah. Who are you? Who am I to say there is no God above? To say there is no God of love? Who are we? Who's the one who sends the sun after the storm is through? Jesus is that golden man that changed my skies to blue.
Through every storm. Thank you, Jesus, and called us to come out as overcomers if we'll keep our eyes focused on him. Oh, Jesus, he's good to us. Amen. He's so good. All right, let's do some deliverance here. We have some time here now to do a little bit of deliverance here tonight before we say goodbye. All right. Let's see where we're going to start here tonight. Lord, what do you have tonight? What do you want? Where would you have us to start? Spirit of difficulty, we come against you. Some people just seem like one difficulty right after another. They're having difficulties in life, and it's a demon called difficulty, and they're sending that difficulty your way continually just to keep you always, focused on the difficulties. So we command that spirit of difficulty to come out right now. Come out. Come out right now. Come out in Jesus' name. We bind you. We break your control over people. We apply the blood of Jesus over people right now, over myself and over everybody listening right now. And we command those spirits not to go into any other family members or into their pets or wherever. You know, you have no right to go. You come out of the people and go where Jesus sends you now, into the dry places. Go. Come out of there right now. Get out right now. All the way out. Difficulty. Spirits of difficulty. We break the curse of difficulty and command that spirit of difficulty to come out right now. All the way out. Out, 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 out. All the way up out of there. Move in the name of Jesus. All that spirit of difficulty, always something difficult happening, always dealing with difficulties like drama club, big difficulty all the time, always from one difficulty drama to another. Come out of there, all the way out. I bind you. Come out in Jesus' name. All the way out, all that difficulty, come out, 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 all the way out. All the way out, all that difficulty. Go, 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 go. The fretting spirit, always fretting about life, fretting about this, fretting about everything. All that fretting spirit, you come out too. Come out now in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I break your hold. Fretting spirit, fretting about this situation, that situation. Fretting, fretting, come out. Come out, come out, come out. All that fretting spirit, come out, come out. All the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. All those troubling spirits, come out now. Come out now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you got to go all the way out. You're defeated. The blood of Jesus defeated you on the cross 2,000 years ago. Come on. You got to go. Come out. 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 Come on. All the way. All the way. Moodiness. You come out. Moodiness. Be a moody person. Well, one day you're up, and I've known some people like that. One day they're up, one day they're down. I mean, they can change at the drop of a hat, so to speak, and they just go through these mood changes, and they're moody people. So we just rebuke that spirit of moodiness. God didn't call you to moodiness. He called you to holiness. So come out of there. All that moodiness, come out right now. All the way out. Those moody spirits, come out now. All the way out. Come up and out of there. Move in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, come out. 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 Those moody spirits, come out. One day you're up, one day you're down. Come out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Up and out. Up and out. Up and out. Up and out. Come 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 out. All that moodiness, all the way out. Up and out of there. Go. In the name of Jesus. You're defeated, demon. The Lord Jesus chased, angel chased and persecutes you. That's what the angel do. Come out of there, all the way out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, all the way out. Chase and persecute these demons, angel. In Jesus' name, ministers sent for us to work for us, and they work first for God, of course. And then they work also for the saints, because it said they're ministering spirits sent for those of us who are heirs of salvation. So they also work for the saints as well. Thank you, Jesus. And the Bible said we're created a little bit lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Hallelujah, our spirit never dies, but our physical body does. But anyway, fear of death, you come out of there right now. Fear of dying. Some people have that fear of death. Come out of there right now. All that fear of death, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. 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 Fear of death. Come out. Come out. Sometimes it's really fear because you don't really believe God and what he said. You don't believe his word, that to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Or maybe you're afraid of pain and suffering. Well, you don't have to die in pain and suffering. Some people do, because they don't take authority over, how they're going to die and all that. And that's another story altogether. But anyway, a lot of the people in the Bible, God even told them when they're going to die. They knew when they were going to die. People can know when it's time to go, but you have to ask. Anyway, come out of there. Keep coming out of there. Fear of death. Come out. 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 And he may not tell you till the end or near the end, but sometimes, like Hezekiah, he added 15 years. You got 15 more years. Time for you to die now. But, hey, you've put yourself before the Lord, cried out to God, and I'm giving you 15 more years, Hezekiah. So he knew when he was going to die. Keep coming out of there all the way. There are others, too, that knew. Come out. 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 Come out, Paul. Come out all the way out of there. Spirits of addiction to nicotine, come out, come out, come out. To tobacco, come out, come out, come out. We break the curse of being controlled by that spirit that keeps you going and going and going with that. Come out of there all the way out, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, all those nicotine spirits, come out. Come out of there all the way out, 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 all the way out. Come out, nicotine. Addiction, food addiction, where you're just addicted to sugar. Come out of there. All that addiction to sweets, come out. Come out, 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 where you overeat instead of one, you eat 10 of them. Come out, whatever that sweet thing is. Come out, all the way out. Go, go, go. Addicted to soda pop, where instead of Jesus, I wouldn't drink any myself because it's not good for you. Carbonation leaches the calcium out of your body, and it does other things, not to mention the many teaspoons of sugar that are in one pop alone, and white sugar is poison to the body and feeds cancer, you know. So there's a lot of things about the sugar that I don't even eat white sugar very rarely, unless it's in something that I'm eating when I eat out or something. You know, that sometimes can't be helped. Sure, pray over the food when you eat it. You know, but you don't pray over junk food and expect it to suddenly become perfect health food, you know. But some people do that, and they think that, you know. I'm going to eat as junky as I can, but I pray over it so it just becomes perfectly healthy to me. I think that God give you a little more wisdom in your head than that. I mean, if you do dumb things, don't be surprised when you get dumb results. I mean, anyway, I'm not calling anybody dumb, but I'm just saying some of the things that Christians do sometimes are not real wise, okay? And they don't really line up with the Word of God. Yeah, and I could apply that to other things besides food, too. I'm just going to just live with so-and-so because, you know, I love him, and God says, you know, if you love one another, you know, come out of there, all the way out, all the way out, Jesus' name. We command these spirits to go, spirits of deception, any kind of deception that people have received. We rebuke the spirit of deception. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of there, all the way up out of there in Jesus' name. All those spirits of deception, we rebuke, the Lord rebuke you, come out. There's going to be much deception in the last days, like, you know, a lot of these megachurch pastors are getting deceived and deceiving the people. It's so sad. I read about them quite often, and it's becoming more and more often, actually. So come out of their deception in Jesus' name. All deception, go, 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 up and out of there, up and out of there. And there's good ones too, don't get me wrong. God has, you know, men of God and women out there that are pastoring mega churches too, but there are some that are getting off. And yeah, we're seeing a lot of people being confused in their mind because of what's being released out of the district of criminals and district of corruption up there. So we command any confusion coming from there to go right now, get out of people, confusion in their mind about their identity, confusion about what they are or what sex they are. We command any spirits coming in, confusion right now, to come out, 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 all the way out. All that confusion, you have to go. Come out of there. Go, go, go. Move, move, move out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Because it is confusion. That's truly what it is, absolute confusion. Because it's demonic. It's devilish. And therefore, you know, it's the devil is confused, obviously, to rejected God and to reject his position that he had at one time. Surely he is confused. Come out of there. All the way out. All that confusion. All the way up out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out of there. All the way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come out. Spirit of shame and guilt. Come out. Spirit of shame. All shame. Come out. Come out. Come out. Maybe your parents told you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You know, and you picked up a spirit of shame that way, too. Or maybe you did some shameful things and picked up a spirit of shame. Come out. Come out of there. You're involved in shameful things. Come out. All the way out. Come on. All that spirit of shame. All that spirit of shame. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Shame. Come out. Shame. Come out. All shame. Come out. 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 Yeah, shame on you. That's a curse right there. Thank you. That's definitely, some people say that to their children. Shame on you, you know. Maybe more so in the previous years, but they still, some do it. Come out of there, all the way out. Go, that's a curse. I wouldn't say that over my child. Come out, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, all that shame. Go, all that shame. Come out. We break the curses of shame in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. Spirit of apathy, come out. Spirit of apathy, apathy, just spiritual laziness. Come out. Don't read the Bible. Kind of lazy spiritually. Come out. All that spiritual apathy. Come out. 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 Come out in Jesus' name. Be weakened by the blood and come out now. All the way out. All the way out. Angels, sword these demons. Sword them. Sword them. Sword them. All the way up out of there. Go. Go, 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 go. All that apathy, all that spiritual lethargy, laziness, come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Lazy about the things of God. Don't pick up your Bible because it's such a fight to pick it up sometimes. Spiritually, the devil doesn't want you picking up your Bible. Devil doesn't want you spending much time praying. No, 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 no. So, yeah, you just got to resist that and just do it anyway. And don't let him, you know, talk you out of it, tempt you out of it, whatever. In Jesus' name, make you lazy spiritually, like a lot of Christians are. They, you know, don't read their Bible unless they go to church. They see it up on some screen or something, and they might read it. You know, that's not enough. That's not enough for these days you're living in now. Come on. It wasn't ever enough. You need more than that. Come out. All the way out. Come 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 out of there, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Keep going, keep moving, all the way out, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Feeling worthless, come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go all the way out, all the way out, all the way out. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Go, keep coming out. Keep coming out of there, all the way out. Linda was ministering to somebody about soul copies today, I tell you. That's an area that the American Deliverance Ministry haven't touched too much, but, you know, a lot of people are living under a soul copy of one of their relatives, and they don't know why they do the things they do, but they're doing it because the soul copy spirits have come in there and copied from, you know, their ancestry, and they're living it out, and they don't know why. They have these things going on inside of them, but it's something that they're, you know, received from a relative, you know. And anyway, I'm not going to get into that tonight. I should have Linda come on and teach that. She could do that. But we'll see. Keep coming out of there. Go. Double-minded spirit. Spirit of distraction. Come out. Being distracted very easily. Distracted from the things of God. Distracted from a spiritual growth. Growing in grace and truth. Come out. Come on. All that distraction. Come out. Spirits of distraction. Come out. Out, 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 out of there. All the way out. Come out. Distraction. We're talking to you. Come out. 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 All that distraction. You have to go. Spirit of distraction. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. 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 All the way out. All the way out. Distracted. Yeah, all that distracted spirit. Come on. Distracting the mind. Distracting you from your priorities. Yeah, TV is a big distraction, and movies and media and even, you know, Patriot Radio or whatever. That could be distracting. And you could sit and listen to that for hours. Some people do, and they end up, you know, just neglecting God's word. Yeah, distractions. Come out. I'm not saying it's bad to know what's going on. We can know that. But if we neglect the Word of God to do that, then we're kind of not where we need to be, you know, with Jesus, because we're neglecting Him, and Jesus needs to come first before everything else. Yeah, keep coming out of there, all the way out. Just keep going. Keep coming out. Double-minded spirit, come out. The double-minded person is unstable in all their ways. So we command a double-mindedness spirit to come out right now. Come out of there, all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, come out. 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 Spirit of larceny, you come out. Spirit of larceny, come out right now. Larceny. Come out. Vulgarity, too. I bind you. Come out, you vulgar mouth. Vulgarity, come out in Jesus' name. Come out, come out, come out. We break the curse of vulgarity. Come out, Jesus' name. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Vulgarity, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. The blood of Jesus, you go. Go, all that vulgarity spirit, come out. I bind you. The Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. Go, 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 all the way out. All the way out. That's right. And Jesus can tell you things to come. In fact, he said he would, right? He will tell us things to come, and we'll get it right off the heavenly news press, and we'll be ahead of all those that are, you know, getting it from other sources, right? And he can warn us. He can prepare us when we need to prepare. When it's time to do certain things, he'll tell you. Keep coming out of there, all the way out. If you're listening, that is. If you're listening. Not everybody's listening. All right, let's see. We're running out of time here. Let's see. What else? Okay. Spirit of sloppiness, you come out. Some people just sloppy. They don't ever straighten up themselves. They don't ever wash clothes. They're just sloppy living and sloppy about the things of God and sloppy about the way they do their work. And you come out of the spirit of sloppiness, any curse of sloppiness, you come out. Come out, right? There's no excellence there. They're just sloppy. You come out of there. Come on, all that sloppiness, you come out. We rebuke those. And I'm not picking on anybody, okay? I'm just calling the spirit out. Come out. All that sloppiness, I'm picking on the devil. That's for sure, a demon. Come out of there. Sloppiness, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All that spirit of sloppiness, come out. In Jesus' name, all the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. Go, go, go. Move, move, move. All that sloppiness, go in the name of Jesus. Right now, loose them and loose them and loose them and let them go. All those demons of sloppiness, come out of there. All the way out. Come out, 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 out. All the way out. Just because others are sloppy, you don't have to be sloppy. Just because you were raised sloppy, you don't have to carry on that spirit. We break the power of that spirit. You come out of there right now. Go, go, go. God's called us to excellence. And you could tell when people walk in excellence. I mean, it's obvious. They have it, and they're walking in it, and you could see it. And hallelujah. Even if you don't have much financially or have much physically, you can still walk in excellence because God gives grace for excellence. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for this deliverance tonight. We thank you, Lord, that you have sealed this deliverance to those who have gotten some tonight, and they will continue to get more. More will continue to come out. I praise you, Lord, for each and every listener tonight. I ask your blessing on their lives, Father. Cause them to just explode with spiritual growth, Father, and continue to stay close to you all the days of their life, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, it's been good to be with you again. Appreciate all of you. Thank you, and we love you, and thanks for taking the time to be here tonight. I believe it's time well spent, because I tell you, I sure felt the anointing on my end. I sure hope that you were aware of it. Okay, so the Oasis CommunityChurch.com, the website. God bless you, and we will see you back next week. May you have a blessed weekend. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He's so near. He's never far away. Now, maybe you're not hearing his voice, but he's still never far away. It says that he sticketh closer than a brother. Yeah, I don't know, but how close a physical brother can stay. I mean, I had a stepbrother, but that wasn't the same as a physical brother. But still, I don't know, closer than a brother. Wow. So he's very close. Some of you have brothers. I don't know if you were close to your brother, but it's there's so many shattered families today that they not get along with each other, and they're far apart across the country and things, So, but Jesus is so much closer than any family member could ever be, husband, even closer than a husband and wife. I mean, he knows you intimately. How many husbands or wives can read the minds of their mate? Really no one. And you might get some clues, but you cannot read somebody else's mind. And God does know your mind. He knows what you're thinking. Wow, he's so close. He loves us in spite of what you're thinking. He loves us in spite of what we might be thinking. And in spite of the things that we've done and we do, he still loves us. He accepts us. And he said that he made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted in the beloved. Wow. The ramifications of that are very, very big. But it ought to give you really security. You should be secure in your relationship with Jesus, not worrying that if you do a little thing wrong, he'll put you out. He doesn't do that. He's a good father, a good God. He doesn't just dump you if you do something wrong. Everybody does something wrong. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. How precious is that blood, right, folks? I mean, how precious is the blood? Well, I'm going to sign off now. I appreciate y'all coming in tonight and being part of the broadcast. We love you. Appreciate you. Good night now. And we'll see you next Friday night.